Calls for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Cellular phones have become an intricate part of our lives. We use them to talk, text, search the internet, make purchases, find a nearby restaurant, and a whole list of other uses. But do we use them responsibly? And what do we mean by that? And what are some of the things that are on the horizon in terms of new developments and new technology? Well, we're going to discuss all of these issues with John Walls, who's the Vice President of Public Affairs for CTIA, the Wireless Association. John, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Oh, thank you, Shirley. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
I love my cellular phone. What can I say? How did I ever live without it is the only question I have. But let's talk about some of the issues, and let's just start out talking about using phones responsibly. Now, most of the region where we live here have laws against using your cell phone with your hand. You can use the earphones, but you can't use the cell phone while you're driving, and yet people do it all the time. Texting while you're driving, which to me is the most scary thing in the world. And I can't imagine that people do that. So let's talk about some of these. You all are spearheading some initiatives to educate consumers about the dangers of these uses. Am I right?
That's right. We've been involved in this actually for a better part of 16 years, talking about the distracted driving problem when you get behind the wheel, about the need to focus on the primary task. And that's when I'm behind the wheel, I'm operating a very powerful machine, and I really should have my attention on that task. And whether it's a distraction of sipping coffee or using a cell phone, or maybe have a child crying in the back seat, or as I see occasionally people putting on makeup, there really is a pretty bright line to be drawn here. And if you just think about how quickly things can change when you're behind the wheel, I drive home across the Roosevelt Bridge every night, and I see those brake lights come on at the blink of an eye. And if you have your eyes off the road, if your hands are off the wheel, particularly, a big problem can result from those lights coming on, right? So we talk to people right now about on the road, off the phone. That's our campaign that we've partnered with the National Safety Council.
Mm-hmm. That's a worthwhile thing to do. Yeah. It is scary. And, you know, it was an interesting thing. I interviewed not too long ago a man who was very concerned about teen driving and some of the issues. And he expressed at the time that just talking on a cell phone was when you're driving for a teen, because of brain development, everything else, they do have their brain isn't fully developed. And I don't mean that to sound like a slam against kids.
I certainly know what you mean.
But there's developments that are still going on. And when you give a kid a cell phone and they're talking on that cell phone while they're driving, it's the equivalent to them having gulped three beers and then gotten behind the wheel. Now, I can't imagine where on that scale texting would fall. So thinking about the distractions for kids when they're driving. And so is part of your campaign aimed at kids?
Well, and actually, yeah, on the road, off the phone was directed
for kids.
If you look at it, it's a message to parents about the importance of raising their children and educating their children about the dangers. Now, if you watch our PSA, which you can go to onroadoffphone.org and see it, and it's been running, you know, around the country.
Yes, right.
We're pretty proud of it. It's in the top fifth percentile of all public service announcements. But the scenario is a teen driver, and it runs you through a series of communications on your text message capability in your phone. So it says to the effect, if the party is at such and such time and you've got to pick up so-and-so, but you still have to drop off so-and-so, what are your odds of surviving this accident? And then there's a pull moment where you look up and you're now driving head-on into an oncoming truck. And it's, we think, a very powerful reminder of what can happen so quickly when your attention is diverted.
Oh, yes.
Especially young people.
Oh, yes.
Because, as you know, the propensity for kids to text is off the charts. Well, you know, kids do it.
Thought the analogy, though, of the three beers kind of put it in perspective for parents to think you wouldn't want your kid to gulp down three beers and get behind the wheel. So consequently, you've got to think about talking to them about the fact that texting is even worse. And They all do it. Oh, scary.
Well, if you think about it, and respectfully, I mean, talking about alcohol consumption, I mean, that's a whole other issue.
We're not talking about actually drinking. We're talking about the equivalency.
I'm saying if you look at, though, what happens with young people when they get behind the wheel, and that why they have these progressive driving laws or laws that regulate how many kids you can have in the car, what time of day you can drive. We think that cellular use falls in that line squarely.
Mm-hmm.
That
absolutely.
You are educating people and giving them the chance to experience driving in a much more controlled way,
mm-hmm.
a much more responsible way. And just as we have laws that restrict how many passengers you can have, the time of day you can drive, we think there should be restrictions on cellular use as well.
Well,
so
I think that's
fully support that.
I think that's a wonderful position for your industry to take, because you realize we're all going to use cell phones unless, as you say, as your campaign is partly, mm-hmm. use them responsibly.
And we're all drivers too.
That's
absolutely.
Well, yeah, I don't want somebody coming at me who's texting.
I want the road safe too,
mm-hmm.
and the employees of the industry want the road safe because they have kids and they have young people. So we've been very fortunate to have the complete support of our carriers and our supplier members. Everybody's behind it, and some of them are doing some really great work on their own.
Oh yeah, well, AT&T's been doing a project on texting.
Yes. Powerful messages.
Yes, where they take around a demo vehicle that people can see what their reactions are when they're distracted.
You might have seen their spots on the Olympics. They mm-hmm. they had a lot of Olympic airtime. They devoted to their anti-texting campaign, and those spots just make you stop and watch and really hit home, I think.
Well, I think the impact of seeing how seriously it distracts you is the big thing. Let's talk about, you all are involved in a whole lot of different consumer issues, cyberbullying, sexting. I mean, you're doing wonderful education things, reaching out to the community, making information accessible, and so on. One of the things that impressed me on your website was you have an Amber Alert program.
Right.
You also have a program called
Text for Baby.
For Baby. Right. Text, that's a number for Baby. Tell us about that.
Yeah,
before you do that, let me just interrupt you and take a second here to let our listeners know that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is John Walls. He's the Vice President of Public Affairs for CTIA, the Wireless Association. And I was just asking you about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Text for Baby program really fits into what the industry is looking at in terms of a social responsibility, is that we have a lot of opportunity here to do a lot of good for people. And Text for Baby, I think, is a great illustration of that. What that was born from, if you will, pardon the pun, but it was an idea of looking at mortality rates, infant mortality rates, remarkably and almost alarmingly high here in the United States, considering the state of our medical health care. You know, we think that we're so advanced and we're so sophisticated, but yet we have a disproportionately high infant mortality rate. So can we communicate with expectant mothers, particularly among the most vulnerable population, low socioeconomic moms, for example, and in a way that can educate them and give them tips for better prenatal care, better postnatal care, to give them better health tips. And so that's how Text for Baby was originated. And the idea is that you go to textforbaby.org, you can sign up to receive these text messages that are tied into your birth cycle, if you will. So if I'm doing 6 months or I'm doing 5 months, I will start receiving text messages based on that cycle, so that they'll be pertinent, they'll be relevant to me. I'm going to get 3 to 4 messages a week. They're free of charge. And the idea is, let's give moms, especially moms who don't maybe have access to the same kind of care that other moms do, let's give them usable, actionable information, have them protect their babies before they're born, give them a better head start, and avoid all those problems that come after baby's born into a disadvantaged situation.
Because the prenatal care is so critical.
It's vital.
Absolutely
vital.
Critical.
Yeah.
And I think that's wonderful, and you're making this available. It's free service.
Free of charge to the end user. The carriers
so people
all
can go online to text4baby.org.
Dot org.
Okay.
And, and.com. I mean, we have all the URLs. Yeah,
okay.
We have all registered.
Okay.
And you can sign up through your carrier, provisions those again for free.
Mm-hmm.
And not just for moms. You know, it's not a bad reminder for dads either.
Well, what about grandparents?
Or grandparents. Receive
sure.
this information and create a support network for that expectant
Absolutely.
Mother. And for a mother who's recently given birth. So because the tips continue. They just don't stop. You've had the baby. Congratulations. Now good luck. For a year after that, you can receive messages about follow-up care, immunizations, those kinds of things, which, again, are just as important for the health of a baby.
You know, it's really fascinating to see the technological developments that have come along with our cell phones. I mean, it used to be you could just make a call.
Right.
Well, now, what can't you do?
Just nothing.
That's right.
I mean, you mentioned this to me off the air. It's a thought of what did I do without this? And
yeah.
There aren't too many. Maybe air conditioning is one of those things that we think about, but in all seriousness, that has become a staple to everyday life.
Well, my husband and I were
directions
out.
Yeah. Or a restaurant or to verify
Absolutely.
A baseball
well,
score
to find out
to
where you are,
a bite or a dispute
to right. find out where you are. Like my husband and I were out on a little exploration of the region the other day. And I was totally lost. We were off on little side roads, dirt roads, everything else, which I love doing. I love exploring. Saw a fox. That was kind of fun. But I had no idea how to get home. So I just turn on my phone and the GPS, and this little voice says, turn left.
I hope it was pleasant.
Yeah. It was pleasant. Yeah. And it got me home. I thought I was going in the right direction, but I didn't know.
But how many times now today, Shirley, and for any of you who are listening at home, that you're out and about, you're looking for something, you're not sure where you are, you need to be in touch with somebody.
That's right.
And it has just become automatic.
Oh, you want to know where to find something.
That device.
Yep.
And whether it's an application like Yelp, which I happen to use quite a bit when I'm mm-hmm. out and about, or maybe it's music, Pandora,
whatever,
to music.
Right.
But there are a lot of great serious needs as well. We see American industry today in all sectors turning to mobile for greater efficiency and greater productivity. And that just brings it all back to the big need that we see
well,
for Spectrum.
Using the phone as a mobile wallet.
Mobile payments.
Payments, exactly.
Machine-to-machine communication.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of fascinating. But put on your crystal, look into your crystal ball. Where do you think we can go with all of this?
I have one. You knew I had one, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the great promise, as I see it, it's about lifestyle enhancement. So what can it do for us in regard to transportation? What can it do with us with regard to mobile health? There are so many, especially today, chronic disease patients
mm-hmm.
and in diabetic monitoring, cardiac monitoring, asthmatic care, putting us in greater connectivity with our doctors,
mm-hmm.
with our healthcare providers, transmitting information about our state right now. You know, when you go to a doctor, that's a snapshot, right? You go in,
mm-hmm.
they do the blood pressure, they do all that, they check you out, and they say, okay, today you're looking great, Shirley. Well, you know what? Well, yesterday I didn't feel so hot.
Right.
Or maybe
yep.
in a few days now I'm not so hot. And maybe you're a diabetic, maybe you're a heart patient, and that information is being transmitted, and it can be in real time to your physician. So they don't get a snapshot. They get a full spectrum of just what your situation is and can treat you right away. So just imagine about orthopedic issues, about senior care as we become a more
mm-hmm.
aged
mm-hmm.
population. I saw something at one of our trade shows, which was really novel, a wireless sensored foot pad that would go in the bottom of shoes for diabetic patients, especially geriatric patients, that can sense when sores are being developed.
Oh, because of circulation issues due to
issues,
diabetes.
And,
mm-hmm.
and of course, they have a sensitivity issue. You know, they
right.
don't,
neuropathy, exactly.
they don't feel that. So someone's developed this prototypical
wow.
device that can sense when your gait's a little off and you don't feel it and you're developing a sore, which can become a big problem for diabetics. My father was a diabetic. My brother's a diabetic. He lost a foot because of diabetes. And so to get that kind of early warning sign, think how fantastic that is.
And
wireless can make all that happen.
Now, it brings you back to the question, however, of security, and whether or not it's going to be private and whether or not someone may gain access to it. So I'm sure that's something that the industry is acutely aware of.
Top shelf priority. Yeah. We just hired a vice president of technology and cybersecurity at CTIA to work with the government and to work with our member companies to look at really top line issues, serious issues about cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And those relate to corporate privacy as well as individual privacy and making sure that our accounts are intact and they can't be infringed upon and can't be invaded. It's not the major stumbling block to adoption. It is one of them because it has to be. It's just one of those
It's got to be secure.
You can't roll out an application today or a wireless solution today that isn't locked up. And
well,
doesn't
especially
give me peace of mind as an individual. We deserve that. And we need to have that. And that is a top issue with the industry.
Especially something as sensitive as your personal medical information.
And you hit it on earlier too, financial payments.
Oh, yes.
Mobile banking, mobile payments, mobile commerce. It's got spectacular upside with the ability to shop online, buy mobile, virtualization to be able to see almost virtually mm-hmm. a good that I want to buy right here and now. But at the same time, you have to make sure that information
is
safe and secure.
Yep. Let's just take a pause here to let people know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is John Walls. He's the Vice President of Public Affairs for CTIA, the Wireless Association. And we're talking about now and in the future how our wireless phones make life so much easier, interesting, accessible, makes us more accessible. Sometimes that's good and sometimes want to turn them off once in a while.
There is an off switch, yeah.
Exactly.
I was thinking you were talking about
in terms of transportation, well, just being able to go online and look up and find out what the traffic is. I do it all the time when I'm getting ready to go somewhere. Especially if it's during rush hour or something, I want to see what the traffic's like.
And just think about the opportunity you have. I don't care whether you live in Chicago or San Francisco or Washington, D.C. or Tulsa, Oklahoma. You have the ability to go online, you know, via your device right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see those red lights ahead of you and you've got an appointment to be somewhere else at a certain time,
yep,
and an ability to avert that disaster, if you will, in your personal or professional life. Again, it's something that 2-3 years ago, you know, we really didn't trust.
Well, now we can
we do it automatically.
We can find out if there's construction on the road.
Yep.
I mean, an accident. I mean, it just boggles my mind.
Yep.
I love it. Absolutely.
Yep.
As you can tell, I am an avid user of my cell phone and my tablet, and I just love them. I think one of the things that we have to make certain that people understand and use them responsibly, but we also have to make sure that people aren't scared to death of them.
Right.
You know, and that's probably that's not true of our younger generation. But I think sometimes in the senior population, we don't find as much penetration of cellular use. Am I correct about that?
But
it's getting more and more
remarkably increasing. Yes, and you see it even for what they do with the device. Texting is up, mm-hmm, by the way. If you know, mm-hmm, for 50 and older.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing that there's a certainly increased adoption in terms of the kinds of things you're doing. Probably, though, the one thing that we're seeing that it's not alarming, but it certainly pinpoints or focuses on a very important need, and that's that I don't care how old you are using your device to have a data session more than you do a voice. And by data, I mean surfing the internet,
mm-hmm,
emailing, doing something like that. Businesses are using wireless data at just a tremendous clip. But all that means, we talked about traffic earlier, if you could imagine that the spectrum that's out there in the air, it's like lanes on a highway. We really can't see them, but just imagine those lanes on a highway and we have traffic on those highways right now. Well, we have a measured amount, we have a manageable amount, but all the predictions are that in the next 5 to 6 years, we're going to have 40 to 50 times as much data traffic.
Oh, yes.
So imagine driving down 395 at 5:30 on a Wednesday afternoon. That's no fun. You are jammed bumper to bumper. And that's what we're coming toward right now with regard to spectrum in this country. And
that's
making more spectrum available is critically important to the industry and really at the end of the day to people,
to the
like
consumer,
you and me, to the consumer, so you have a good experience and not a real frustrating one.
Because if you don't have adequate spectrum, then you can't really use your phone, not at least efficiently.
Well, it slows down.
Very slow.
It becomes a little
right.
bulkier.
Right.
And you think about all the great innovation we've had, say, in the past 4 or 5 years. Well, if you don't have room to grow, that comes to a halt too.
Well, how do you see spectrum? There have been various discussions about what should happen, what the Federal Communications Commission should do. What do you see happening in terms of spectrum and making more available, especially as this tremendous surge in demand?
Well, there have been some positive steps earlier this year with the Job Growth Creation Act. There was a spectrum set aside in there, but now we need to get down to the business of having the auction, of forming the rules, rolling that out, and then letting carriers pay for the spectrum, which is what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the old broadcasters, you know, where you got it back in the day. Now you got to pay for it. And they're willing to, you know, to billions of dollars.
Well, so, because you can't service your consumer or your user if you don't have it.
Absolutely the lifeblood. And I think probably a serious examination of who's using what spectrum, because our government is a massive holder of spectrum. We argue the U.S. government has more spectrum than virtually any other government on the face of the planet. And there are some very important needs there. There's no question, security being, you know, top
yes.
of the mind. But at the same time, the government, I think it's widely agreed upon, can be a more efficient user of spectrum, maybe doesn't need quite as much as it has access to currently. So through inventory, let's look at who has what? Who needs what? Can we reallocate and package it up so mm-hmm. that we're more efficient?
Well, what about
and then
all those
roll more out into the commercial market to let all these great things continue?
What about the spectrum that has that television stations, for example, have, and many of them are not using?
Yeah, that's part of the past law,
what?
Right? That there's now there's a law in the books, and they're in the process. The FCC is of trying to get the regulations drawn up agreeably.
Well, the
to
issue
everybody.
Is whether or not the stations can sell it, whether or not they have to give it up. What
well,
I think there's
right
a
now,
lot of issues
they
around
can
it.
Sell it, and they'll be able to. And
mm-hmm.
it's a voluntary auction. So
okay.
if I'm Channel 55 and I don't, maybe I want to cash in, or maybe I want to share spectrum with
sure.
another station, I'm going to have that opportunity to make my spectrum available. It's great spectrum for wireless communication.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to have access to it via an auction and then to roll it out commercially to people. So that's a big issue right now. It's still been kind of slow in the making. We'd like maybe the broadcasters come around a little bit more than they have, but there have been some steps in the right direction. But now we need to seal the deal. We need to finish it.
We just have less than a minute. Just give me briefly, what kind of increase are we seeing, percentage increase in use in spectrum over 6 months, or what's
well, I mean,
happening?
I mean, you can see it through data revenue. Wireless data revenue is going to account for more than voice in carriers. That tells you
mm-hmm.
what people are doing right now. Cisco has made projections of a 40 to 50 fold increase
wow.
in spectrum need over the next 5 years up through 2017. So we see the traffic jam coming, but we can avert it right now if we plan appropriately. Let's plan ahead, let's plan together, and let's push this country forward. We could do it economically, and certainly personally, we all benefit from that as well.
Because the use of cellular phones is not going to go backwards.
Oh, no.
We know there's just going to be a tremendous
increase. It's full speed ahead.
Exactly.
That's what makes it so exciting.
Well, you want that too. Well,
absolutely.
Thank you so much, John. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest has been John Walls, who's Vice President of Public Affairs for CTIA, the Wireless Association. Again, you're listening to us right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Shirley Rooker, and we thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.